Hallo zusammen und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge, der 13. nämlich, von unserem Abitur-Podcast. Ich bin der Sven.
Ich bin der Olli.
Und heute möchten wir mit euch ein bisschen was über Sonette erzählen, besonders die von Shakespeare, weil die nämlich in NRW zentral abiturrelevant sind.
Ja, then let's switch to English. Since this is an official English episode, we're gonna talk only English for now. Well, let's start with the general definition of the sonnet. There is basically two sonnet forms. The first one is the Italian form. We are not really gonna be concerned with that. And the English form, which are relevant because it's the form Shakespeare used and the form that you're supposed to know for the Zentralabitur.
Final exams.
Exactly. The English sonnet consists of three quatrains. Its rhyming scheme is A-B-A-B, and so on for the other quatrains. And in the end, we have a rhyming couplet, well, a paired rhyme at the end, and is, well, in our graphic, it's G-G.
So what is important for you to know, when you see in literature or whatever, you see 14 lines which are having a rhyming scheme, then always check whether it might be a sonnet, especially in your final exams, because sonnets are part of the curriculum.
Exactly. One more aspect that might be important to mention, the transition between the last line of the third quatrain and the first line of the rhyming couplet, that's called the volta, which is sort of like a cut, which introduces the rhyming couplet in the end.
Yeah, we're gonna focus on that when we tell you something about the structure of sonnets. And that's what Oliver is gonna starting with now.
very well. Let's first talk about the first quatrain. The first quatrain is, of course, as you can think, it's the introduction to the theme or the topic of the sonnet. And, well, it basically introduces the reader to what is going to happen and what the problem is.
Yeah, where the first quatrain is the introduction, the couplet in the ending is like a conclusion, more or less. In the English case, the problem is that it's only two lines the author has to come to a conclusion. So most of the authors only gave impulses to the reader, and they only want the reader to reflect himself on the sonnet more than giving their own conclusion. And that is something which is completely different from the Italian sonnet.
Well, also important about the structure is that the structure is always used to basically reinforce the argumentation or the structure of the sonnet always reflects on what the content is. So structure and content of a sonnet are always interacting with each other a lot, and as you're going through the content, you should always keep in mind the structure, as it might help you to figure out what the intentions of the authors are or might be.
And that explains why it was seen as a high art to write a sonnet, because it's quite difficult to keep this given structure and to apply your own argumentation, which should be supported by the structure, onto that sonnet form. So it was quite difficult to write these sonnets. Okay, coming back to the structure of the sonnet, after the author has introduced to the topic in the first quatrain, he's going to explain what his problems or what the problem of the sonnet is, or with what question he's gonna deal with. And since he has very less space for that, authors tend to use stylistic devices such as antitheses in order to make the reader understand his point easier, so that he doesn't have to explain the whole thing elaborated, as you would have to do in a prosa text. But by using antitheses or other stylistic devices, you can imply parts of your intention so that you don't have to write that much. For those who don't know what exactly an antithesis is, as described on our PDF document, it's like that you state something, and in order to make your position to that clear, you use a word like but or despite or some kind of these conjunctions in order to underline that your point is completely different. So you don't have to write this and this and this and that, and I don't agree with that because, but you can just shorten it and use conjunctions as written in the PDF. That's what an antithesis is.
Well, so we understood now what the structure of the sonnet is for and what it's like. Let's get now to the imagery of a sonnet. And as you should all know from the sonnets that you have learned, especially from Shakespeare's sonnets that we have been dealing with, the imagery can be quite on various topics, but it focuses mainly on things that are concerned with, for example, beauty and different aspects of beauty as well. Not only the physical beauty, but also the beauty of the mind. We had poetry, some sonnets on that from Shakespeare, and very many aspects of beauty are discussed. Another aspect is, of course, the courtly love that hopefully you've been discussing, that for example, that the lover who is writing, or who is the lyrical eye of the sonnet, is split between the desire for the person but really can't reach her, and the whole topic of courtly love is really discussed in those sonnets as well. Well, we are now going to discuss an example of a sonnet. We chose sonnet 130 from Shakespeare, of course. Whoever wants to read the text, it's in our PDF. We're not going to read it for you because we cannot read poems.
By the way, you find every Shakespearean sonnet and an interpretation of that in the Wikipedia. Just have a look, might be helpful.
All right. As you can see in the first quatrain, again, we have, we don't really quite have an introduction. So Shakespeare really starts getting into the description of the mistress that he's describing, and describes her that, he doesn't really give compliments as it's usually as it was a common conception, but he rather says that his mistress is not as beautiful and uses very many metaphors to describe that. Metaphors is also a very important concept when talking about sonnets.
Yeah, as you can see, during the whole three quatrains, he doesn't make any kind of compliments, so that the author gets really curious about why he wrote that, and it's quite strange because I guess there were quite a few women in that time who would be quite disappointed or who didn't like that. And after having discussed the unbeauty of his mistress for the first three quatrains, he comes up with a quite surprising conclusion in the last couplet, which is that he thinks that it's more important to say truly what he thinks of her and loving her as truly, instead of making false compliments and thereby admitting that the love might also be just false or not as honorable as the girl might want it to be.
Now, in this sonnet as well, the structure is very it's connected to the content of the poem, of the sonnet, and as you can see, the first three quatrains are all about the mistress, and in the end we have the volta that we were discussing about in the beginning. That is the sort of a cut where the whole atmosphere of the poem changes, and the the conclusion, the last couplet is introduced, the rhyming couplet, and the whole thing basically turns around, and that's what the volta really means, that it is basically a completely different conclusion than you would expect from the content of the sonnet before that.
Yeah, I think that it is on the sonnets. Und jetzt können wir mal weiter Deutsch reden, weil wir sind nämlich am Ende. Wir hoffen, ihr habt ein bisschen was gelernt, wie immer. Wenn ihr das habt, dann empfehlt uns einfach weiter. Wenn ihr Kritik habt oder Verbesserungsvorschläge oder vielleicht auch gerne mal eine Folge machen wollt oder gerne eine Folge von uns hören wollt, dann meldet euch einfach unter www.abitur.net oder ihr schreibt eine E-Mail an abitur.gmx.net.
Es klappt immer besser.
Ja, weil Knaps war ganz ohne Schnipser. Und dann hoffen wir, euch hat es ein bisschen gefallen und dann sehen wir uns zur nächsten Folge. Bis dann.
Bis zum nächsten Mal. We'll be right back.